All right. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Matthew. And as I mentioned in those preceding remarks, there is an element that we read about in Matthew, Mark, and Luke primarily. And they were the Jews who were the custodians of the truth in the day in which our Lord had his public ministry upon the earth. But the sad part about the Jews and the sad part about most of what is called Christianity in the day in which we live. And this isn't a self-righteous thing. This has nothing to do with good works or anything of the sort. It has to do with the truth. Now, the truth is, the scripture says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, how many people are going to be justified before God?
No one.
Okay. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. So under Judaism, there was a great stress upon the law, and the Jews learned very quickly that they couldn't keep the law. So what did they do? They traditionalized the law and did things to the law that gave them the sense of keeping it. Well, that wasn't the ministry of the law. The ministry of the law was a schoolmaster. Now, in Greek, the word for schoolmaster is a pedagogos. That's an attendant slave who was responsible for training children. So what does the law train us to be? Not good individuals. It shows us we're sinners. Yeah. And I guarantee you, and this isn't all of the law, but if you go back and just read the Ten Commandments in the 20th chapter of Exodus, I guarantee you, if you're honest with yourself, you cannot read those without ending up with conviction that I don't keep those. No. And that's what the Word of God said. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and what? Sinneth not. And therefore, by the deeds of the law, what? No flesh will be justified in God's sight. All the emphasis under Judaism was placed upon their lives. All the emphasis under Christianity is, for the most part, is based upon your life. Well, what kind of life? Yeah. Since there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, and there's none righteous, not even one, what kind of life? And that's the question that is answered in the gospel, because Christ, who is God, became a man through the virgin birth, lived amongst men until he was 30 years old, began his public ministry, and as he ministered to the Jews under the law, he did it in a fashion to use the law in its schoolmaster role. The word schoolmaster really carries the wrong connotation in English, but in Greek, the particular word is one who was an attendant slave who was responsible for the training of the children. Yeah. So you have a king, and he's got many servants. He has one that is his particular responsibility to train the king's sons, daughters, in the way that they should go. So that's what the law was. Well, we can't go that way. Why? Because we've all sinned in Adam. God counts that when Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, ask yourself a question. What is a knowledge of good and evil? And by definition, it's man's morality. What are the religions of the world based upon? Man's morality. Yeah. So man is trying to get back into the paradise of God by the very thing that caused him to be removed from the paradise of God. Eve was warned not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What is the knowledge of good and evil? It's man's morality. Now, prior to their fall, they had a relationship with God which was based upon God's word. They were created in the image of God. But when the serpent tempted Eve, he misquoted the word of God and he tempted her with his misquotations. And so then she thought that she lacked something. So let's read it back in Genesis 3. These are foundational portions of the Word of God that, unfortunately, there's not much emphasis put upon. Now, it says of the serpent. Now, when we think of a serpent, this is what he became after God judged him. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. Covereth what? We don't know for certain, but it's suggested over in the book of Ezekiel that Lucifer may have been a covering cloud of jewels that passed in orbit with the earth around the sun, so that they were always as if they were stationary. You know. And so can you imagine the beauty of diamonds, rubies, emeralds, all the beautiful stones that now are buried in the earth? All of those, you know, in a great cloud above the earth to prevent the earth from being bombarded with the radiation from the sun, which you can see the things on my head where I've been working for over a year to try to clear them up. But when I was in the commercial tour radio business, I did all the high climbing. If you look at that tower up on Blanton Heights, there's one that now that's 700 feet with a 100-foot antenna on top of it. I've only been to the 400-foot level, but not on that tower, on the old one. You know. And we had antennas all the way up and down. And when you work up there, there's no shade. And in those days, I didn't wear a hat. I had a little more hair than I've got now. But my arms, all of my upper body shows damage from the sun. You know, I'm 90 years old, so you can expect that. And so, but if I take my pants off, my legs are pristine. They never saw the light of the day. It just shows you, you know, getting out in that sun and baking is really hard on your skin. That's just a little side note. No gospel in that. All right. So, the serpent. He is the anointed cherub. What is the cherub? One of the angels. He's the anointed cherub that covereth. Covereth what? Well, we think the earth, to protect the earth from the radiation from the sun. And that's why he was lifted up in pride. Think about how beautiful that would be. Think, you know, he was lifted up in pride because of his great beauty. Well, you say jewels aren't a being. Well, this was an angelic being. And we don't know much about him other than the few glimpses we have of him in Scripture. Now, the serpent, this was his condition afterwards. He wasn't a serpent at the time that he deceived Eve. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Or we would say, did God really say you can't eat of all of the trees in the garden? Now, what is that? You know, God warned them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day thou eatest thereof, what? Thou shalt surely die. And people say, well, what's wrong with a knowledge of good and evil? That's our morality. Yeah. And that's the basis of all the religion of the world. What man thinks he can do, and there's about 4,000 different systems, what man thinks he can do to make himself fit for the presence of God, but none of them produce the perfection that's required by God. Yeah. Because, you know, we don't even keep our own rules, let alone God's. Okay? So he says, yea, if God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. All of the trees in the garden were fruit trees. And they provided food for Adam and Eve. But the one in the midst of the garden, the tree of life, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God planted one, the devil planted the other. Doesn't tell us that in Scripture. It appears that God planted them all. But when we study the Scriptures, we find that it was the devil who put that tree there. Okay. It says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. And then what? Oh, a little softening of the law, lest we die. What did God say? The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So, man's morality doesn't provide him with eternal life. Man's morality keeps him from realizing he's a sinner, and that the only one that can justify him before God is God himself in the person of Jesus Christ, who fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law and fulfilled all righteousness, and then gave himself as a ransom for sin, because without the shedding of blood is no remission. Remission, an old word, which means payment. Okay? No payment for sin apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. So the serpent says to Eve, for God doth know. Yeah. Make people think that you lack something. And virtually every false system under the canopy of Christianity promises you something more. If you come to our church, you can speak in tongues. If you come to our church, you can do this and do that, and all of these different types of things. They're just temptations, just empty promises. Yeah. And basically, that's what the serpent did with Eve. He gave her an empty promise, which caused her to die spiritually. And then when she had eaten of it, she gave to her husband, and he did eat. That makes Adam the federal head of the human family. We all come from Adam. I spoke of it the other night in our message on Wednesday night. A lot of people don't know this, but every drop of blood that flows in your veins, not one drop of it came from your mother, it came from your father. It's a medical fact that the bloodstream of the baby is separated from the bloodstream of the mother. Because if they're mixed, it usually causes a miscarriage. Okay? And so the blood that flows in our veins came from our father. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That is, there's no life without blood. But in addition to giving us physical life for a certain number of years, it also gives us death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we've all sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. So what do we need? We need a Savior. Now the Jews weren't inclined to believe that they needed a Savior. The Jews, like most people under the canopy of Christianity, have fallen into the mistaken idea that they can live a life well pleasing to God. And that by the life that they live, that God will, typically, you get to the pearly gates. You know, I don't know where they get that. But you get to the pearly gates, and Peter's there. And you have to talk with Peter, and Peter looks at your good works and tells you whether you're good enough to enter heaven. No. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what? No man. Let's say it again. No man cometh unto the Father but how? But by me. So that excludes all the religious systems of the world. Every moral system is on their way to hell. You know, and a good deal of what calls itself Christianity, for the same reason, it's on its way to hell. I don't say that to be, some sort of a smart aleck, or, oh, we're smart and everybody else is dumb. No. Christ came into this world. He was born of a virgin, born under the law, as a virgin-born son. The blood that flowed in his veins came from his father. But and who was his father? God was his father. The blood that flows in our veins came from our father. Well, if we go back far enough, Adam's our father. So we each ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when Adam ate of it. Therefore, it's appointed unto man what? Scripture says, once to die. Now, when this physical body dies, unless, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that says, as with Jesus dealing with these Jews, the way into the presence of God is not by the works of your own hands. The way into the presence of God is by faith. Faith in what? In the fact that the Son of God, very God of God, became a man through the virgin birth, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, had no cause of death in him, but died a ransom. He paid the penalty for your sins and for mine. So, that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if you think you're going to get to heaven by the life that you live, you've bought into the lie of the devil. If you think you're a good person, in relative speaking, I've never spent any time in prison. I've been in a lot of jails because I worked on police radio systems. And I remember putting the system in over in Bend, and it really slowed us down because we had to go through the jail itself to get on the roof to put the antenna up there for communicating with the cars. So, spent a lot of time going back and forth through jail, but I've never been, quote-unquote, jailed. Not my fault. Because like everybody else, we've all pushed the law a little bit somewhere along the line, and we were just lucky enough that the day that I was doing 90 miles an hour down the freeway, there weren't any police around. I had so much work to do, I had my foot in the carburetor most of the time. Okay, so we see this serpent deceived the woman. That's why, now, listen to this carefully. This has nothing to do with a woman being in any wise less than a man. But Paul, the Apostle Paul said, I suffer not a woman to preach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Now, what do we see in this day in which we live? Everybody's doing his own thing. And they really, when you lose the distinction between a husband and a wife, and the fellow says, well, I'm gonna marry Charlie. He's my love of my life. Well, he may be the love of your life, but that's not a marriage. You can't produce anything. Cynthia, and I hope I don't use anybody's name, and Mary Lou decide they're going to live together too. But they're not going to produce any children either. And so we're all concerned about the environment and getting things to preserve themselves. But if man really got on this kick of men with men and women with women, women to the exclusion of a normal relationship, what would happen? About three generations, we would cease to exist as a people. Yeah. But, you know, and we find out that these people, they jump back and forth, and men are with men and men are with women. And it's just a matter of satisfying their flesh, you know. And they can do it if they want to. In fact, in the day in which we live, we're not supposed to say anything about it. We're not supposed to say, you know, that it's sin. You know, it's just part of the human nature. And God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of it, not because it was any worse sin than any other sin, but if you think about it, it's a self-destroying sin. Because you realize when Lot fled from Sodom and he took his two daughters with him and his wife got caught up in the judgment, God said, don't look back. And she had to take one last long loving look, you know, before she fled Sodom. And why? Because in Sodom, Lot was actually part of the ruling class in Sodom. And Mrs. Lot was a big shot in Sodom. And so she desired that. God says, don't look back. You know, so he turned her into a pillar of salt. Doesn't mean that she lost her salvation or anything of the sort. She was a saved woman, but she had her interest, what, buried in this world. You know? And it happens to all of us. You know, I got discouraged when our first church failed, and for about 4 or 5 years, I was out of the ministry, you know, and not doing what God called me to do. And I mentioned those radio towers. I was building one up on, the ridge up here above Coburg. But I was up on that mountain. We'd build a 120-foot tower in a snowstorm. We had a beautiful day, snow everywhere, but a beautiful day. We started on the second tower, and my boss sent his son-in-law along to help us. And he didn't know anything about what he was supposed to do. We gave him an instruction. So I had when you erect a radio tower, all that's holding that first 30 feet of tower is one bolt, a half-inch bolt, yeah, right in the center. And so I'm up there at the 30-foot level bringing up the second guy line. And this individual, he decides he's going to speed things up and starts to tighten the first guy line. Now, we got a half-inch bolt and a 30-foot lever. How long do you think that bolt's going to stay? Yeah. So the tower started down. I was belted in, you know, which would have banged me pretty hard on the ground. I managed to get my belt loose, and I decided I'm going to jump for the roof of the building. It'll cut it down by about 10 feet, you know, cut the distance. And I jumped, and I missed. No, I had a chest back a radio in the old days. They weren't small like my cell phone, you know. You see, I got a flip phone. I don't do things with my thumbs. Anyway, the radio at that time was like about the size of a brick. In fact, they used to call them bricks. And I had it in the chest back on my chest. And I hit the edge of the roof with that. And it flipped me and I landed on my head. Now, I'd been out of the ministry for a number of years and doing my own thing. And at that moment in time, I was laying on the ground. You know, the first thought that came to my mind, Lord, why didn't you kill me? You called me into the gospel ministry, and I trained for it, and I studied for it, and had a pretty good church going, and a little failure along the way, and I got discouraged and quit. Why didn't you just kill me? Well, pretty obvious that he had something else for me to do. Yeah. I was, that was, trying to remember back when that was. That was probably about 70, you know. So 30 years plus 22, 52 years ago. And, you know, so I was 48 years old. And why didn't you kill me? Well, because he wasn't through with me. You know, and I got back into the ministry. I realized with the message that I preach that our church would never be really large. We filled this building up about three or four different times, but then people move away and, you know, kind of a waning. If we had everybody today, we'd be pretty well filled up again, but, you know, people go here, go there, do their thing. Okay. Now let's go back to the book of Matthew, where we've been studying. And we've studied up through the, the 20th verse of the 11th chapter. And I think I'll back up to about verse 1. Understand, Jesus' public ministry with the Jews was based upon what? On law. Why was it based upon law? Because the Jews, when they came out of Egypt and God gave them the law orally, he spoke to them from the mount. And what was their response to the law? All that the Lord has spoken, what? We will do. Now, if I go back and read the law, and if you read it with any understanding of who you are, why would anybody ever say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do? And there were many laws beyond the Ten Commandments. So it says, and it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he was giving them a ministry to go minister to the Jews. They were to use the law lawfully to show them that they had failed before the law, and that God in Jesus Christ was going to provide a Savior. Okay. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John got a little bit discouraged. You know, I got a little bit discouraged back in those days. I'd worked so hard, you know, and been in college summer and winter for about, what, 4 or 5 years. And, summer term is the winter term as well as the summer term, because that way I could keep the GI Bill coming, but it never came on time. And school would be billing you for the books, and the government. I'm not going to say it the way we said it when I was in the Air Force. The Eagle had to dispense something every now and then. Okay. Now, when John had heard the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John got a little bit discouraged. And I know what discouragement is all about. And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you hear and see. Yeah. Christ was in their midst. He was virgin born. The Jews knew he was virgin born, but what was their attitude? Over in the, I think it's the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, we be not born of fornication. They rejected the concept that Christ was virgin born. If they'd known their own scriptures, they would have known that it said in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and do what? And bear a son and call his name what? Emmanuel. What's Emmanuel mean? God with us. Who is Jesus Christ? God with us. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? It's Jesus Christ. So, tell John what's going on. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. Do you know that no person has ever been saved or come to recognize that he needs a Savior? No one has ever recognized that by any of the sort of works that Jesus and the apostles after him were able to do. Those were signs for the nation of Israel, because the Jews require what? They require a sign. But faith comes how? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. These aren't normal events. God's in your midst. That's what the public ministry of Jesus Christ was saying to the Jews. They should have recognized it if they had known their own scripture. But just like the Jews in that day, the so-called Church of Jesus Christ in this day, for the most part, is just being fed a bunch of nonsense. Yeah. Live a good life and we'll go to heaven. Yeah. That's basically what it's all about. Well, they can say Christ is their Savior and so forth, but they don't recognize that without the shedding of blood is what? No remission, no pain. And Christ had to be God to satisfy God, and he had to be man to satisfy man. So he's the God-man. And as the God-man, he offered himself as a sacrifice for sin, because without the shedding of blood is no remission. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The Jews were offended by Jesus. Why were they offended? We've been keeping our tradition, and our traditions tell us we're okay. You know, and that's what we see so much of under the canopy of Christianity. People, I work a lot of crossword puzzles. It's a good pastime for me, and it's good brain exercise. You know, keeps you from slipping away into the, you know. So, it says, and as he departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went you out for to see? You know, they had to go out into the wilderness, because John didn't minister in the cities. What went ye out unto the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment or clothing? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Yeah. In those days, most fabrics that were woven by the poor were rather coarse garments and not exactly soft. It was the wealthy kings that had the soft garments. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? And John truly was a prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger. Now, it was prophesied in the Old Testament that John would precede the ministry of Jesus Christ. They were actually cousins, and he preceded him. He was born 6 months ahead of Jesus, which will prepare thy way before thee. John came and preached to Jews what? Repentance. What's that mean? A change of mind. Now, what was the change of mind that the Jews had to have? Well, I've been drinking a little bit too much whiskey. I better cut back. I've been smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. I better cut back. I've been, I've got 3 wives and a couple of girlfriends. Maybe I ought to cut back. Whatever. You know. There's all kinds of sin in this world. But what he was telling them, you Jews have promised by an oath, you know, an oath that promised, if you don't keep it, thou shalt surely die. Not die in the sense of just physical death, but be eternally separated from God. That's what they swore that they would do. So he says, you have to see a prophet? Yeah, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. He was a voice crying in the wilderness, prophesied over in the book of Malachi, that would precede the Lord Jesus Christ to call the nation of Israel to a change of mind, repentance. Now, people think repentance means being sorry for something. No, it's a change of mind. What was the change of mind that the Jews needed? Well, back in the days of Moses, when the law was given to them orally, they said what? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. They soon found they couldn't do it. So then the scholars and different ones began to change it and say, well, this really doesn't mean this. It means this. And they would give the Jews something that would make them feel good, that they were doing what God had demanded of them. Now, they voluntarily entered into the law, and the law condemned them. And with the condemnation that came with the law, what else did Moses receive on the mount? He received the pattern of the tabernacle. Now, what was the tabernacle? God dwelling with man. That's what it represented. Okay? Who is God dwelling with man? Jesus Christ. So the tabernacle in the wilderness, the sacrificial system, pointed that God has to dwell with man and offer himself as a ransom for sin. No man could do it because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So just, dabbling with something without producing perfection when God demands perfection, you're just wasting your time. You might as well, as Eric said, he loves to fish. He found out he couldn't catch him anymore. I don't know what happened there. Anyway, I'm sorry, Eric. That's called needling you a little bit.
I deserve it too.
Now he says, let's say, verily I say unto you in verse 11, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, think about this. John was on earth ministering as a Jew under the law, and as a Jew under the law, he probably kept a great deal of the law, but he couldn't keep it all. No one can. And he was telling the Jews that they needed to change their mind. They couldn't be justified before God by what they did. They needed a Savior. And when Jesus came out to be baptized of John, John refused and said, I need to be baptized by you. And John's baptism was a baptism of what? Repentance. What does repentance mean? Well, in the world today, repentance means you're sorry. That's not what it means. Repentance is a change of mind. The Jews' mind had to be changed from all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, to all that the Lord has spoken, it's impossible for us to do. We need a Savior. That was the change of mind that John was really after when he preached in the wilderness. And so he goes on to say, for all the prophets and the law prophesied in verse 13 until John, and if ye will receive it, this is, we have a Greek spelling of a Hebrew word, and it comes out as Elias. We're really talking about Elijah, okay? And if you will receive it, John the Baptist was Elijah. But God knew that they wouldn't receive the ministry of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was John the Baptist. And we see Elijah come. Remember, Elijah and Enoch and Elijah were raised into heaven without dying. And the scripture says, It's appointed unto man what? Once to die. And so when we get over about the 12th chapter, 11th chapter, somewhere in Revelation there, we see the two witnesses. And they die and their dead bodies lay in the street for 3.5 days. The people on the earth have finally killed the prophets that brought the conviction upon them. And then they watch as those two witnesses ascend into heaven, and it scares the living daylights out of them because they've killed men of God and they've worshipped the devil incarnated in a man's body like Judas Iscariot. He will be the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the devil incarnate, okay, or in human form. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? Oh, I forgot to push that button. Well, we're getting close to time to quit. Okay. Let's see. For all the prophets, I'll begin at verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied to John, and if you will receive it, this is Elijah, who was to come. Okay. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That saying means open your ears, remove the wax if necessary, so that you can hear and understand that what you've been hearing from the law is that you're justified by it. And therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. Where? In God's sight. Why? Because all have sinned, that is, we're counted to have sinned when Adam sinned. And we don't have to have any personal sin to send us to hell. We ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in Adam when Adam ate of it. If God can charge us with Adam's sin, he can charge us with Christ's righteousness. That's why it says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all who are in Christ shall be made alive. And let's continue up to about verse 20. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It's likened unto children sitting in the market and calling unto their fellows and say, we wanted to play. And we piped a happy tune and you haven't danced. We wanted to play, have a big band era and pipe a tune, and you were supposed to dance, but you haven't danced. Yeah. And then we did a funeral dirge, and you didn't mourn. So one end of the spectrum to the other, from being happy and gay to the time of your death, you don't want to have anything to do with what we have to say. Well, I'll say this. I was 21 years old when I heard the gospel for the first time. And fortunately, the Spirit of God quickened that word to my heart so that I could believe it just hearing it once. Yeah. That's a rare thing, but that's the way the Lord dealt with me. And I was quickened by the Spirit of God and believed the gospel and was saved. Yeah. Within just a few months of that taking place, I had immediately an insatiable appetite for the Word of God. When we got back to Spokane after visiting it in California for a week, I was immediately shipped TDY to Eielson Air Force Base in Alaska, and we got the 20 B-36 bombers. Actually, we took 22. We had 22 all ready to fly nonstop to Japan in a mock raid over Russia. The rest of our guys went to Okinawa on Japan. And then I was on a base with nothing to do except pinochle, poker, all the guys, that guys normally do. And I had a New Testament. And I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. I laid in my bunk, except for meals, and read. And when I got got back to Spokane, it wasn't, same thing. We found a church to go to. I had an insatiable appetite for the Word of God. Now, that doesn't happen to everyone, but it happened to me. And the reason it happened to me, because God was going to call me into the ministry. I didn't know anything about that. And I've kind of rebelled against it at times. But the fact is that God saved me by His grace. I'm a bondservant. I've been purchased with a price. The world makes a big deal about slavery. Every one of you works for somebody. If you work for somebody, can you tell that guy, "Well, I'm not coming to work today. I'm going to go fishing today." How long are you going to keep your job? Not very long. You're a servant to your employer. You're indentured to him. In order for you to get money and have a wage, you have to do what he says. Okay? They're making a big deal about slavery today, and the truth of the matter is we're all enslaved to sin, and we have to work to support our families. Yeah. So you can decide not to work. And today, of course, the government wants to make it. Hey, we'll give you Social Security. We'll give you this. We'll give you that. We'll even bring you into the country illegally and scatter you around so that we can win the next election. And they won the last one. What's going to happen in the next one? I have no idea. When it comes to politics, I have no knowledge. I know what I believe and why I believe it, but trying to figure out how politicians are going to act in any situation is a rare thing. You know, Brother Stewart gave me a definition for politicians. Everybody knows what poly means. It means many. And everybody knows what a tick is. A tick's a bloodsucker. So a politician or a politic, that's a bloodsucker. And believe me, look at the price of gasoline. Most of that's tax. Yeah. All of these different things. Oh, we're making the world a wonderful place to live. And we're saving the environment. Yeah. Any trees that we cut down in this country, we put them on a boat. And we that boat has to use natural fuels like diesel to get all the way to China or Japan to have it milled there. And then after it's milled, we put it on a truck and we send a ship and send it back. But we're improving the environment, I guarantee you. I can remember here in Oregon, because I worked in the two-way radio business, I had one customer that there were 300 members, that lots of employees, 300 members of the Emerald Loggers, or not Emerald Loggers, but the Loggers Association. I've forgotten the name of it. But the bottom line is what? You're going to labor all the days of your life. If you get rich like Bezos or some of these guys with a good idea, I can't understand why those guys vote Democratic, but I know that Bezos paid less than 1% tax on his income last year. He's a trillionaire. We're supposed to soak the rich. The politicians all get into it with a moderate income, but by the time they get through, somehow or other, they all become very wealthy. Look at the other way and holding your hand open. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Are we going to improve this world? No. But we're not trying to improve the world. The Lord gave us a commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Gospel means good news. What's the gospel? How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the scripture. And he says to those of us who believe on him, I give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish. Just a simple act of faith will give you eternal life, believing that Christ died for your sin, according to the scripture. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your gospel. And we see in the Jews a vast number who rejected the truth, just as we see in this day a vast number who profess faith in Christ like the Jews did, but reject the actual truth of the Word of God for the tradition of men. We pray that this cloud that has been put there by the devil will be removed, and that people might see there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good, and Christ died for the ungodly. And if we believe that he died for our sin, we have eternal life, and we shall never perish. We praise you and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.